And it's great that Greg Carpenter can join us this morning just to explain the situation, because it could have been quite serious, but Racing Victoria's acted extremely quickly to get this situation rectified. Good morning, Greg. How are you going?
I'm going really well, Michael. And when Matt rang me at 7:30 this morning, if I knew it was his 50th birthday, I would have wished him all the best, because we were in the middle of celebrating my grandson's first birthday this morning when he rang. So February the 14th, not just Valentine's Day for a lot of people.
No, that is the circle of life right there. Hey, now, Greg, this is a serious issue, because Matt Stewart was alerted yesterday by a listener to RSN 927 who rang up and said, I have been able to vote multiple times for the All-Star Mile, the online voting. Matt investigated it, we looked at it, and he indeed had been able to cast multiple votes, which, of course, part of the entries, part of the rules, are that one vote per person. Now, can you explain how has this occurred, and how is there a possible corruption of the voting system for the All-Star Mile?
Well, I spoke to Nick the Bricklayer yesterday, and he told me he had voted on more than one occasion for different horses. The terms and the conditions of the All-Star Mile are very clear, that people are only eligible to enter once, and anyone who does so on multiple occasions is in breach of the terms and conditions. If we identify anyone who has voted more than once, their duplicate votes will be removed at the conclusion of the voting period. So it has been possible for people to submit more than one vote by creating multiple email addresses, but we are able to track all of those multiple votes, and in the 72-hour verification process of voting, which will commence when voting closes on Monday, those votes will be removed. And since Matt spoke to me yesterday and alerted me personally about this, because I wasn't alive to it, you know, it reflects the checking and the tracking process that we have in place, because we've now been able to, even though we were going to do it at the verification part of the process yesterday afternoon, we were able to track every one of those multiple votes, what horses they have voted for, and for every one of those individuals, how many times they have voted more than once. So we've identified a small minority of people who have entered the competition are in breach of the conditions and voted more than once. It's around or just under 2% of the vote. There has not been any concerted campaign to in favour of any one horse, and there's not been a person who sat there and created 100 email addresses. Most people have voted more than once for some reason and voted two or three times. But again, like Nick and the gentleman who has got the record, who's the only person that's voted on more than 10 times, we've got all those details. So if you're listening, I'll give you a call later today and have a chat. Well, but those votes will be taken out through the verification process, and they will not influence the outcome of the top 10.
So well, we're sitting at over 100,000 votes at the moment. So that's, you know, 2,000 to 2,500 votes which have been corrupted, which is still a fair amount considering when you go down the top 10 and the horse that is currently sitting on around about the 10th place only has, you know, 3,000, almost 4,000 votes. So it's almost half the amount of votes which could possibly get a horse into the top 10. Now, the good news is that it's being spread amongst different votes, but it does corrupt the actual leaderboard as to what people are looking at and the horses that they are following. The question is, how could it be done in the first place? How is it that when you have already voted once, that the system doesn't recognise that and block you from actually logging on a vote which is counted on the current tally?
Because the people are creating multiple email addresses. Now, our verification process is in line with those that are used for these competitions. There was always a period at the end of voting for us to go through a number of fronts and verify the votes. So it is very difficult to stop people who want to go down this path. What is important that there is protection mechanisms in place, that they are identified, removed for the voting, and do not influence the outcome. And you're absolutely right, as we said before, it's not been a concentrated campaign through any particular horse or any particular individual. When we washed the data yesterday afternoon, the composition of the top 20 in actual fact is totally unaffected when you remove the votes at that point. But obviously they'll be removed at the end of the verification process when we have all the data, and to make sure if they were removed, those people don't vote again. So it's been a really interesting process for me. Certainly I've learned a lot over the last 24 hours about the power and the strength of our tracking mechanisms, which again are in line with other consumer competitions that are run like this. And looking ahead to next year, and Matt posed the question, will this be able to be done next year? I think it's fair to say we'll have a much longer lead-in to next year's process. And if it is possible, from learnings from other consumer competitions that do this every day, T's and C's have to be lodged with every state government to satisfy that the competition is being run well, which is what we did. We've got one of the big four firms conducting the verification process. If it's possible to stop this kind of multiple voting next year with a longer lead up, we will certainly look to do that. But the important thing is that we are able to track this, and that the verification process means that the outcome of the top 10 will be totally unaffected.
Well, that is the good news, is the fact that the top 10 will not be affected by this. And as you said, next year, you'd imagine that whoever is running the back end on behalf of Racing Victoria, the IT company, would be able to ensure that you are not allowed to cast a vote in the first place. It goes dark tomorrow. And as you said, the top 10 will not be affected by these multiple votes. But for those who are wishing to vote from, is it midday tomorrow, we will not be able to see the leaderboard. Casts will be voted blind until the final top 10 is announced next week.
Taking inspiration from the original Australian Idol when voting went black in the last 24 hours. So this has always been part of the strategy around the All-Star Mile for two reasons. It will build suspense as we head towards the actual announcement of the top 10 next week. The leaderboard will go black from noon tomorrow. And the other reason is that it's interesting, the feedback around the blackout has come mainly from those horses within the top 10 who have been able to mount really good social campaigns to get their horses in. They feel that they have been at advantage through that. And it speaks to the fact that when the leaderboard goes black, that people will probably start looking to the better Group 1 horses and may vote for them. I don't know if that will actually happen, but that is some of the feedback that we have got. So the blackout period is to build suspense. It was always going to be purpose-built for that. And you talked about 100,000 votes. I think yesterday we surged past 115. So as we get into the last 4 days of voting now, it looks almost inevitable that we will surge past 150,000 votes. We've been seeing that there have been still some changes, even with that number of votes cast over the last 3 or 4 days. And it's going to make very interesting to see how people vote over the last 72 hours when it goes black.
There
was a really good
that.
Photo shoot in Sydney yesterday with Happy Clapper. Pat Webster in the paper today bemoaning the fact that Happy Clapper's not in the top 10, so let's hope that Sydney voters get behind the horse. It's just been such a marvellous promotion so far. 40% of those people who have voted are females. The biggest age demographic has been from the 25 to 34 year group. Almost 25% of the votes cast have come from that age demographic. And more than 50% of the votes cast have come from outside of Victoria. But for everyone who was a fan of Mystic Journey, a fan of Material Man, a fan of Happy Clapper, get voting, because there is still time for you to create your own all-star and make sure that your favourite horse gets in the top 10.
Greg, thanks for updating us, and good to hear that the corruption has been rectified and it will have no final bearing on the top 10. Greg Carpenter there from Racing Victoria. Matty Stewart, who broke the story yesterday, has joined me in the studio. And Matty, look, I mean, it's disappointing and it's head-scratching in one sense that such a big competition with so much riding on it would have this glitch, this loophole, but look, the ray of sunlight, I suppose, is that it is not going to have an impact on the final field.
No, that's right. And I think one of the encouraging things about the inaugural All-Star Mile is that there are obvious lessons for next year. So they're clear and they can be addressed. I think the ratings of the horses, as highlighted by Amanda Elliott yesterday, has to go up. And you highlighted this with a suggestion that there's tweaking required. And I think they're onto that. They've got to close this loophole. This, I know what Greg's saying about it's a wider competition regulation sort of thing, where such competitions have a similar potential loophole. But I mean, it has to be weeded out next year. We cannot have a leaderboard that is not an accurate reflection
correct,
of the vote.
Exactly.
So that's good that they've got onto that. I mean, there's a lot of positivity around the All-Star Mile. Still, I've got a
Well, you've got a positive All-Star Mile story, which shows that it's actually gone global.
Well,
and with some of the biggest names in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, John Cleese, it's Shane Warne sent out a tweet pushing for Tom Melbourne yesterday or the day before, and there's all these campaigns about generating votes. But the most interesting one to come up so far was John Cleese, who I don't even need to clarify who I'm talking about. John Cleese sent out a series of tweets overnight pushing, urging people to vote for Manuel. And of course, we all understand the Manuel connection to John Cleese. And I rang up Gary Lechte and I said, oh, is this just an observation from afar from John Cleese, who might have a bit of an interest in horse racing? He said, no, he sold me his Bentley 4 years ago. So I said, what's the story there? And he said, well, there was a story in the newspaper. John Cleese is a multiple wedding man. So, and he was having a bit of a clear out after the fourth divorce and getting rid of jettisoning a few things to try and recoup some cash. And there was a story in one of the English papers about John Cleese, if you buy his Bentley, he'll take you out to lunch in Knightsbridge. And Lechte bought his Bentley, imported it to Australia, still sits in his garage in Melbourne. This is John Cleese's Bentley, which Gary said to me, he said, you wouldn't believe the people that have been in that car, you know. So he had lunch with John Cleese at Knightsbridge. They got on really well, and there's been a loose communication ever since. John Cleese was very aware that Manuel won the CF4 Stakes at big odds, and he's showing a greater interest all the time in Manuel and the All-Star Mile, and who knows what this may lead to on All-Star Mile Day with John Cleese.
He'll need to get all his mates voting, because we're going to have a chat to Tony McAvoy soon after the break. Manuel currently 37th in order of entry, 584 votes.
And we've got a funny, we haven't quite created it yet, but on our website soon we're going to have a interesting story highlighting some of these tweets, but we're going to reflect on one of the great episodes of Fawlty Towers, where Basil, it wasn't Manuel, it was a horse called Dragonfly, and this is, and it's a Basil trying to hide the fact that he'd backed it from Sybil and struggling to do so.
Everyone can relate to that. Matty Stewart, happy birthday too, mate.
Shut up and go away.
50 years old. There we go.
Yep.
And it is Valentine's Day, so we are doing a service for Maddie. If anyone would like to spend the evening with Maddie, he is free and available.
Yep. No, go with that.
Dinner.
Go with that.
SMS us here.
Yep. All the other dating apps aren't working.
Interesting to see. Are you up a bracket now?
What do you mean?
On the dating app?
You know,
50 plus?
No, the spectrum. You know, the spectrum's wide.
Okay. Maddie Stewart, the birthday boy. We're going to take a break. On the other side of this, we'll have a chat to Tony McAvoy and Graham Beck.
Racing Pulse for the I Am A Star campaign. Help her get a start in the All-Star Mile. You could win up to $350,000. See the terms and conditions and join the campaign now at kingstarclub.com.